Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork. I'm the host. And what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Glenn, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Thanks, Eric.
Now, I want to understand here, you actually work on MEF.
I'm a program manager on the MEF project, which means I write code. I just don't write the production code. But the overall design of MEF is something that I work on along with other PMs. I also kind of have been like the project manager, we'll say, from FV1, which is making sure that a whole bunch of things that need to get done in order for us to ship in the .NET framework get done.
Here's the question I have. So MEF is out there. Well, first of all, maybe we should say, so it stands for Managed Extensibility Framework. Is that right?
That's right.
And what problem does it solve?
So it's kind of at a low level, I would say that MEF is a general compositional technology, which means that, you know, traditionally in a lot of our applications, we do everything through new. When we have to create objects, we do it all manually. And where MEF is really coming along is to say that instead of you doing new, there's a composition engine which is creating instances for you and providing them the things that they need. Now, of course, immediately that comes to the question of how we compare with some of the other things that are out there. Mm-hmm. And what I would say that although that's what we do, our real V1 story of why we're doing this is to help developers build applications that can openly be extended by third parties. Composition becomes a great way to allow things to be openly extensible, open-ended systems, because it means that me as a developer who's building a system that's open-ended doesn't have to know about or be responsible for getting all the kinds of things that are going to show up in the system. So, I mean, I think at a high level, what MEF is about is allowing applications to be developed that third parties can tack on functionality to after that's been deployed. Now, that is our kind of MEF V1 story, but under the hood, I think it's fair to say that MEF is not limited to these extensible scenarios and was actually designed for a much broader set of general compositional needs, of which it was perceived that there was a big gap around this third-party extensibility problem.
Right, yeah, and so I'm interested in that because few people actually write extensible applications. You know, I don't think a lot of clients are willing to pay for that. But people are crazy excited about separation of concerns, right? They want to be able to break their applications down into manageable pieces. And I kind of see MEF as a tool for doing that. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But where we've optimized, I would say, in V1 is really around that extensibility scenario. And I would push back kind of on what you said. I think that for the line of business developer, having the third-party extensibility may not make as much sense. But one sample that I was recently in Poland for a week, and I was at the Norwegian Developers Conference, and one example that I was demonstrating where I think it shows how reasonable usage in a line of business application of MEF would be for an extensible rules engine where, you know, I'm deploying this application to different customer sites, like maybe it's an order entry app, but they want to be able to customize. And, you know, I don't want to have to build in my own complete infrastructure for how they get those rules in, et cetera. And, you know, MEF makes it very easy for me to create an order processing engine that is grabbing its rules from the ether, so to speak, where that could be coming from these, could be deployed in a directory where a customer just writes an assembly and just implements a set of known interfaces and drops that in. So I think that in the past, those kinds of things have not been very easy to do, though certainly there are in recent years things like IOC containers that enable that. But I think it's because it's been a difficult problem, people haven't been doing it. We believe that if the framework provides more infrastructure to make that achievable, it actually now opens up a lot of doors where people can start to say, yeah, we're building these line of business apps that have to be deployed in different configurations, or I'm building customer-facing apps like a CRM system, and hey, using MEF, we can make it really easy now to make those apps be flexible. So it kind of is like a chicken and egg scenario situation where, you know, once we provide more core infrastructure to make these kind of things possible, it's almost like Link. It's like, well, now there's a ton of places where before I might not have done it, but now it's really easy to do. So it can provide added value.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. So there's sort of a middle ground. I mean, when we talk about third-party plugins, I think of maybe Reflector or some of these applications that have APIs for plugins. But there's a middle ground. There's like we can plug in rules engines, or we can plug in different parts. We can leave we can leave those parts of our applications extensible for the future.
Right, but also think about Office. I mean, Office and VSTO, right? So I'm creating components that are plugging in to those environments, and I want those components themselves to access both services that are coming from Office or maybe coming from other third parties. There's an ecosystem there. So I think, like, if you look at some of the things we've done in the company, like Visual Studio and Office have both created ecosystems. There alone, having a technology like MEF that is consistent across both stacks versus having completely different sets of APIs that are incompatible in itself provides a benefit.
Yeah, there's a standardization that's also a benefit. That's cool.
Exactly. A framework level standardization where conceptually I could design third-party components that can move between those different environments and still work. Now, the second thing you mentioned about separation of concerns, absolutely, we see a ton of value in separation of concerns. And that's why when I talk about the general goal of MEF as a low-level system of composition is really absolutely addressing separation of concerns. It's just that the public face of it, like MEF has core infrastructure, which we call the primitives, which is this generic programming model for composition that's not even based on static CLR objects. It's even higher level than that, to support things like dynamic languages. But the face that we've really optimized on in V1 is, the programming model that we're introducing is really very much geared towards this third-party scenario. And it doesn't mean you can't use it in a non-third-party scenario, but the experience that you get, for example, a lot of folks that are using IOC containers, convention over configuration, that's a big thing. Well, in the third-party scenarios, it's less important because you want app. It's not even less important. It's almost an anti-pattern in some respects because, I'm Office and I'm just going to let anybody drop any DLL that happens to, be named like this, and I'm just going to pick it up and that's it without a question. MEF allows you to harden the kinds of information that those components provide before they ever even get created so that they can be interrogated and say, oh, you've given us this metadata. Yeah, you're cool. We can take you in. Oh, you're not. We're going to ignore you. Those are things that a lot of these other frameworks don't support because they're not really optimized around those scenarios. And I'm not saying that optimizing around those scenarios was necessarily the right thing for those frameworks because they're really addressing more of the internal decoupling needs of like an enterprise or line of business app.
Fair enough. So I buy in. I'm excited by this. My next step is to what? Download it? I hit CodePlex.
So MEF ships as part of .NET Framework 4.0. It's available in beta. It's available in the .NET beta that's out there, beta 1, and we'll be upgrading it in beta 2. But yes, for about the last year, we've been shipping CodePlex releases of MEF source for 3.5. So if you're using 3.5, .NET 3.5, you can actually grab that source, and we have a DLL that's compiled that you can use. MEF also ships under an open source license on CodePlex, which means that the Mono folks, I've had a couple of folks from the Linux community who've said, hey, we want to use MEF, and we have an explicit goal of getting it to MSPL to allow that, and we got bashed when we didn't initially. So you have options of either using what's in the framework or, depending on what version you're on, grabbing what's out there. The advantage of grabbing our CodePlex drops is you get things more frequently. Like, our preview 6 that we just dropped is got a bunch of features that will be rolling into beta 2 that are now present in beta 1. And there's a pretty big gap between the betas. So
Great.
Keeping up with the CodePlex drops, gets you more aggressively getting access to the newer features.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 2 or Silverlight 3, go ahead and check out our website, silverbaylabs.com.
civilite.org. That's our company where we do consulting and mentoring services for both Silverlight 2 and Silverlight 3. If you're interested in Silverlight training, see the Silverlight Tour, where I'm also an instructor.